My first guest of the new year, 2021, is Coach Caleb Lubin from over at Manson Northwest Webster, the head boys basketball coach. Coach, good to see you this morning, and I hope you had a happy holiday season.
Yeah, it's good to see you too. Thanks for having me on. Hope it was good going home to see your family.
It really was. I really enjoyed my time there home and some of the time off, and I think it recharged me. I'm ready to hit the ground running, Coach. And here we are, second half of the season. Last night for you guys, probably, I know it was your closest performance of the season. You fall just short last night, 46-40 against GTRA. How do you feel about your performance last night as opposed to earlier in the year?
Well, since the break, when we played Emmitsburg on Monday, Cherokee Tuesday, and even last night, you know, we're starting to shoot the ball a little bit better. You know, Monday night when we played Emmitsburg, you know, Tate Bianchi came in off the bench for us and hit three threes right away during the game, and but we just couldn't get anything else to fall from other people. Tuesday night, Brody Poppin started for us, a sophomore, and he hit a couple threes, but we just couldn't get anybody else to get him going. And last night, Connor Christensen knocked down a couple, but our biggest problem has just been we haven't been able to get everybody hitting shots on the same night. We got one or two kids that'll hit them, and then we don't get much from others, so it's good that we're hitting shots. We're starting to hit them, but now we just got to get everybody to do it on the same night and put it all together instead of breaking it up over a three-game span, and we'll be right there and winning some games.
Yeah, is it a matter of just missing good looks? Is it a matter of shot selection or, you know, having a hard time getting good shots because of the defensive level?
Depending on who we play, you know, Cherokee, Tuesday night, I mean, they're big, they're strong, and we even got good looks then, but We've gotten great looks. I mean, we got kids getting good looks. We're getting open looks. We just can't get them to fall sometimes. And so, you know, we got to keep doing what we're doing. We got some things we're going to adjust offensively to try to jumpstart our offense a little more.
Okay.
You know, one of the big things I liked Monday and Tuesday night was we started out well. You know, we didn't get down early by 20 points.
Right.
You know, and that was something we had struggled with before the break. So that was something that we improved on. And even at the Ridgeview game before the break, that day before we took the break for school, we even started out pretty well. So we've started to get a little bit better. But like I said, we just got to be able to put everything together on one night and see what we can do.
When you talk about making some adjustments offensively, you looking at trying to pick up the pace and the tempo a little bit?
100%. Yeah, we in the last couple of years, we've been able to play the half-court game and play it well and try to use that to neutralize teams that want to get us going fast-paced and turn the ball over. But you know, we're playing eight or nine guys right now, and so we're going to, you know, obviously put in some adjustments to try to get this thing going and say, hey, you know, when you're in, you got to go and try to get us some scoring, because right now we're averaging, I think, 33, 34 points a game. You and I both talked about it. We're not going to win many games averaging 33, 34.
Yeah, you're not going to win at the varsity level at that. And here's the thing. When you shoot a low percentage, the key is to create more opportunities to shoot. That's the key, because that way, if you do shoot a low percentage, you have more opportunities, you're going to score more anyway.
Yep, exactly. So it's just a matter of us trying to get all the pieces put on the puzzle together. So we've got some of the pieces together, knowing who needs to play where, who needs to play what, but we just got to get some of those finishing touches put together before we start our stretch of conference games here in about a week. I think we got seven or eight games in a row that are conference games, so.
Yeah, and of course your conference, you know, going to be a difficult road, of course, to get through. Quality conference, quality schedule for you. Coming up this week, you've got Peyton Sherdan on Monday. Then on Thursday, we'll have the Coach's Corner Classic. It'll be Manson Northwest Webster and St. Edmunds. So Caleb Lubin and Adolph Kokendorf will go head-to-head in that game on Thursday night. That'll be interesting. Coach Corkenhofer is here with us, Coach K, and we'll talk to him later on in the program as well. He's over there enjoying that Hy-Vee Fort Dodge breakfast. And I tell you, I've missed that the last 3 weeks. We're gonna get to that later on here today. Friday, you're at Emmitsburg as well. Be another tough road competition game there. Coming up here this week, I feel like some manageable games, though. If you're able to hit some shots and play well, I think you've got an opportunity this week maybe to get a couple.
Yeah, definitely. You know, you bring up Emmitsburg. We play them this next week, and then we play them at the end of the season.
Okay.
The last game. But we had, I think it was a junior high wrestling or a wrestling meet, and there was like a junior high event in Barnum. So we had to move that non-conference game to this last Monday. And that was a game where, you know, we were leading at the end of the first quarter. We were in it, and we just had some mistakes. We missed some bunnies, missed some inside shots, and, you know, give credit to them. They hit free throws down the stretch when we tried to foul. So we had a couple close games this week that we were in. And so I think gives us some confidence going in, knowing, hey, we can win games. We just got to be able to do the little things right.
Right.
Handle the basketball, make some of our bunnies, and not give up some second chance points, and we're right in it. So
yep.
Yeah, those three games are games that I think we can be in and give ourselves a chance to win.
Sure, sure. GTRA for you last night, Caleb Lubin, my guest, the head coach of boys basketball, Madison Northwest Webster. GTRA last night beat you 46-40, and that was a game where you were trailing by one possession and had a pretty good shot to tie it, I believe, late in the game. Walk me through that late in the game process.
Yeah, so we were down, I think, in the third quarter. We were down by, I think, 17 at one point.
Oh, wow.
And we came out in the fourth, and, you know, one of the adjustments, we just decided we're going to make the adjustment now, and we're just going to start running people in and out, and we started pressing, and shoot, we got it down to three, and we were fouling at the time, so we had got it down to about seven, got it down to six, it was down to five, you know, we got down to three, and we fouled, and they missed both free throws, and I'm standing down in the right corner, and we're coming down the court, and our point guard at the time, Dayton Snell, pushes it ahead, and we had a great look. I'm standing behind the kid, and he released it, and I mean, I'm ready to jump up and down, because I'm like, this thing's going in.
Yeah, yeah.
It went in and out, bounced out, they got the rebound, and we had to foul, try to make this a possession game, get the ball back, and they hit both free throws, and we came down, and we had a sophomore guard make a really good move to get to the hoop, but got contested, and I think they tipped it a little bit when he went up and missed it, and that was all she wrote. They made their one or two free throws, and we didn't get a good look off after that. So
that right there is a bounce here and a bounce there, Coach.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And
game inches.
If you continue to play at that level it's playing out at, you know, continue to give a maximum effort. Eventually, the breaks start to work themselves out.
Yeah,
they really
exactly.
do. I remember my last year in coaching, started out 1-2, and we had gotten beat. We missed a three at the end of the game that would have won it in one game, and we had one where I got a technical foul I probably shouldn't have got. But I got a technical foul, and kind of was the difference of the game at the end of the game. I'll still say a terrible no call as we were going to the bucket, but so we end up 1-2. And I told our teams that don't get down. Understand that, you know, we still got, you know, almost 20 games left of the season at 1-2. Like if we keep put our best foot forward, these breaks are going to even themselves out, and they did. And we ended up, you know, having I think we finished six games over 500. You know, so it's one of those deals where I think it's important. For you guys to so that the players understand that it's a matter of that'll work itself out if they continue to play at that level.
Yeah, and that's one of the things we've tried to emphasize to them. You know, if you go back and look at our schedule, the first eight or nine games, I mean, we don't play bad competition.
Right.
You know, we play Humboldt, we play Newell, we play Southeast Valley, we play Cherokee, we play South Central, we play Polk. I mean, we play play a lot of really good teams. At the beginning of the season and in those first 9 or 10 games before we hit a stretch where some of the schools are more our size than.
Right,
you know,
right.
Say that's a school more our size and we're not playing 3A schools like Cherokee and Humboldt. So, and obviously we didn't get to play Humboldt this year, but and you know, we tell the guys, you can't get down on yourself and think one game or a couple games is going to define a season. It's 21 games, and to be honest, everybody makes the playoffs. This isn't football anymore.
True.
You know, not where it used to be, where only two teams, I think, from a district made the playoffs. We're going to be in the competition at the end of the year, the playoffs. So we just got to focus on getting better each game.
Right.
I mean, you can go into the playoffs with two losses and make a bit of a run if you're playing well at the end of the season.
Right.
So if we only have one or two losses. If you only have one or two wins, that's not the end of the world. You're going to have a chance to be in the playoffs and give yourself a chance to make a bit of a run.
True.
So we just got to get better each game and make sure we're playing our best by the end of the season.
Although you want to get a few wins strung together because you want to be playing well and have momentum, but also you want to avoid that killer draw Because if you win one or two games, you're going to get a killer draw in that first.
You're going to get a tough draw. So yeah, like you said, you know, if we can get a couple, that's our goal. We just got to try to get a couple and get going and get some confidence back. You know, yeah. And I think some of our missed shots, they're great looks. Their kids are catching it in rhythm. I think it's just some confidence. And when the ball doesn't fall through enough for you, you kind of get in your own head a little bit.
You start thinking about it.
You start thinking about the game instead of just playing the game.
Yeah.
Go out, don't think about it, and just play.
Well, shooting the ball especially, you can't think about shooting the ball. You have to shoot the ball in rhythm if you're going to shoot it. Like, you can think about the other elements of the game, like what I'm going to do with the ball if I get it against this defensive configuration,
yep.
Or, you know, what do I do on defense against this guy? You can think about that, but you can't think about shooting. You got to be ready to shoot and shoot the ball or not. I mean, that's the main thing. If you think about shooting, you always hear, you know, people say, and you see it when you watch a game, a guy that hesitates to shoot almost always misses,
yep.
You know. So I get where you're coming from there. Starting to go with a more up-tempo attack now to try to change some things for you. Defensive pressure is now going to be a big focal point for your defensive identity, right?
Yeah, yep. And so, you know, one of our nice things is we run a couple different – we got about two different defenses we play. So
okay.
Our big thing is we're going to have to communicate. You know, when we fall back out of our press, we're going to have to make sure we get matched up and stuff and know where we're at on the floor, because we can't get into pressing and then giving up open layups because we don't get our guy or get to
right.
our position
right.
on defense. So, yeah, not only does it try to create for us offensively, but now it places a lot of emphasis on our defense and being able to communicate and getting back and hustling, you know. And if you're not hustling, like, you know, we've told the guys, we play nine guys. We'll find somebody. We got a lot of kids competing for playing time still. About
right.
five guys that are all about the same. And so we've been trying to rotate them in and out and see if we can find someone that's going to get us going in the offensive category.
Well, I mean, that's the thing, because you haven't had a guy who really has stepped up and been, you know, a major scorer for you, you know, in terms of being in double figures or anything, you know, really of that nature consistently. So, you know, that you can afford to play different guys at different times. Like, you don't have to keep a guy in who's maybe a liability defensively because he gives you a lot on the offense, because right now you don't really have that.
Yeah, yep, you know, and we were, I was actually talking to my assistant last night, you know, our leading scorer last night, you know, I told the guys, I said, he turns it over a couple times, but the fact remains, you know, he's producing for us. So, you know, if it gets to be too much, yeah, we got to pull him. But, guys, if you can score, if you can knock down shots, you're going to find playing time. And
yeah.
That's on any team.
Yeah.
If you can step in with confidence, you can score the ball, and you can score off the dribble, you can attack the hoop, you know, you're going to be playing. Because our leading scorer the last three games has all been a different person.
Yeah.
So, it's not that we have not where we're like, hey, we got Cam Schrader that's going to go put up 20, 30 a game, or like a Zane Newbaum type or something like that. We don't quite have that right now. So if you can score, you know, we're going to try to find a spot for you on the floor.
And it's going to be different guys, you know, at different times too. And, you know, it kind of brings up a good point here. Caleb Wubin is my guest. Matt's the Northwest Webster head boys basketball coach. Kind of brings up a point. Now, I used to tell guys this all the time. Now, not at the college level, but at the high school level generally, at least at the smaller school level, pretty much everywhere I've been, if you can do one thing really well, you only have to be able to do one thing really well, you're going to find yourself an opportunity to play. You're going to have a role. That's all you really have to do is be good at one thing, and you're going to carve out a niche for yourself.
Yep, and that's exactly the thing I talked to our guys about in our role meetings at the beginning of the year. You know, some guys, their role, their job is to be an on-ball defender. Some of them, their job, their role is to attack the hoop because they're not a great shooter. Some of them, their role is to knock down shots.
Rebound
them,
the ball.
Some of them, their job is to rebound and play defense. You know, and that's how it is. And so roles can obviously change. Now, if a kid's starting to hit shots, he might be a kid we need to score more than somebody else. And somebody else, if you're not knocking down shots and you're not hustling on defense, might probably not going to find yourself on the floor. So if you can do one thing well, especially at small schools, you're going to have a chance, an opportunity. Doesn't mean it's going to be equal to everybody else's opportunity, but you'll have a chance. You'll be in the conversation, you'll get looks, and then it's just a matter of taking advantage of those opportunities. you know, you hear college kids talk about it all the time and stuff. Oh, I just got to take advantage of this opportunity.
Yeah.
And the same thing applies to smaller schools. And if you take advantage of it, things will go well for you. You'll get more playing time, more looks. If you don't, and you don't perform and you don't hustle, well, you're probably not going to get as many looks.
It's probably true. As far as offensively in the half court here, I know you're going with the pressure to try to get you some easier looks and extend the floor and all that. I get that. I was the same way. I was a press guy, so I get all of that philosophy. But in the half court here, are you going to kind of maybe go a little more maybe dribble motion type stuff where you spread it out a little bit more, or what's your philosophy on adjustments here offensively?
Well, that's what we've tried to do early
okay.
on.
And okay.
one of the things we've done in the past and we've been able to do, and we're starting to be able to do now, you know, Sean Peters has stepped up the last couple games for us, being a guy inside that can get the ball and get looks and,
okay.
and get us some buckets. And he's rebounded really well. I think he has 10 rebounds each of the last three games, and it's
okay.
like 5 offensive, 5 defensive. So he's really playing well inside. And so, you know, going away from, not completely going away from that motion, but trying to look to hit the high post, get a post touch, you know, get the defense to collapse, and then we can kick out for shots. Or if the defense collapses, we make a back cut, things like that. But trying to work off getting the ball into the middle of the court instead of having it on the out-of-bounds line so much. And then when we pick up our dribble, then we're stuck.
Yeah,
now we're in
sure.
a bad trapping position.
Sure.
You pick the ball up at the high post, you can hit jump shots, you can enter to the post, you can kick to the wing. When you pick it up in the corner, on the baseline, or on the sideline, you're not in a very good spot to do much
yep.
at all.
Because
so.
You got that extra defender right there,
exactly.
the baseline or the sideline for sure. And, yeah, you know, you can't trap the middle of the floor.
No.
You know, not really. So, yeah, I agree with you there. And I, you know, I haven't seen him. He may be the type of player too that can benefit off a ball screen and then roll off of that screen or
yeah.
slip off of that screen or something like that too. It's a lot of different ways that you could do it. But certainly, you've got to start to try to solve the pieces to the puzzle now
yeah.
offensively as you go along. And this week going to be a big week in those terms. And I know. You know, I don't know much about Peyton Chernin, but I know Thursday night against St. Edmund, I know that they're gonna defend you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. When we play out, there's no doubt about it. And I told our guys every game we got to go in thinking we can win this game. You know, we got to have the confidence going in and believe in ourselves that we can do it. And you got to be ready because teams aren't just gonna roll over. You
sure.
know? So yeah, Friday night or not Friday night, Thursday night will be a good game. Be interesting to see get to play against St. Ed's again and. I know that's always a rivalry game that everyone talks about.
It is.
I know
is.
Coach K will have the troops ready to roll.
And he'll have them ready, as he always does. And of course, they're coming off a split week, beat Webster City earlier
yep.
this week. And Battle of Highway 7
yeah.
On Thursday
there
night.
There you go.
Is what I heard a couple of people say that during football. And I like that.
I had somebody comment on a Facebook post about Manson and St. Ed should play for owning the rights for Barnum or whatever.
Whoever wins gets to claim Barnum. Okay?
Yeah, I was like, that's pretty funny. That's a good one. So
we might, yeah.
In the middle of COVID, I needed to laugh like that. So
we might have to find some company that has interest in both communities that
yeah.
wants to put their name on the St. Edmund and Manson game and put a little one of those kind of trophy type
yeah.
deals and that kind of thing. To spice that up just a little bit,
yeah, yeah.
Here, put some dressing on it.
Add a little bit.
I'm always like the over the top guy. Like I always want to do like the over the top stuff. Let's not just play a game. Let's play a game and call it this.
Yeah.
Let's play for this. But you know all that because anything you can tell I'm a media guy because anytime mm-hmm. that I can throw some hype in there, I'm going to throw some hype
oh,
to
definitely.
It and add a little bit to that. Caleb Blumen's been my guest here, Manson Northwest Webster basketball. Coach, it's good to catch up with you. I know that you're not where you want to be in terms of wins and losses, but you're starting to make progress, I think, here. And I think this week's a very important step in that process.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I appreciate you having me on. Always enjoy coming out here and discussing basketball with you and even getting here a few minutes early so we can talk and catch up. But, yeah, we got a big week coming up. We got to try to get at least one of these, maybe two or three we can get if we play well and do the little things right that we need to.
I think if you get one, I think things start to become a lot easier. That monkey gets off your back, so to speak, and I think you're in better shape. Well, hopefully we can visit with you again next week, and we'll be talking about a W here from this week. I want you to go ahead and get it out of the way with Peyton Cerdan, because I can't root against you or Coach Gay on Thursday night. I got to be a neutralist and just let y'all do what y'all do there.
Yeah, definitely. That was if you come on the radio and start talking one team down, that might not be good for your
radio. And the people in Manson, too, I know that they would not appreciate that, because I hear from the folks in Manson quite a bit, and they love the coverage over there. They do. And it would be like turning heel in professional wrestling if I were to say something bad over there.
Exactly.
It would not be a good reaction, so we don't want that. Coach, good to visit with you. Good luck this week.
Yeah, thanks, Rob.